When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Aaron Sagers, and this is Talking Strange.
Hey there, spooky nerds. Welcome to Talking Strange, a paranormal pop culture show with Den of Geek. As always, I'm your host, author, researcher of weird things, and paranormal journalist, Aaron Sagers. And I am at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, where it's been really wild. We've had the opportunity to talk to so many amazing filmmakers and artists. And right now, I want you to check out this interview that I conducted with Sydney Sweeney, who is the producer and star of Immaculate. Now, you think you know Sydney Sweeney, but I guarantee you, after you see this movie, you're going to see a whole other side of her, because this is a wild kind of religious horror type of flick that's very entertaining and also pretty unsettling. And she goes there. She's like goes full Nick Cage, unhinged. It's pretty wild. So I got a chance to talk to her, to the director, Michael Mohan, to her cast, Alvaro Morte, Benedetta Porcaroli, which I'm sure I got that name wrong, and Simona Tabasco, who you also know from White Lotus. So check out this interview with the cast of Immaculate, led by Sydney Sweeney. Hey, Den of Geek fans, Aaron Sagers here, and we are at the South by Southwest Den of Geek Studios, and I am joined by the cast and director of Immaculate. And this flick, man, it has a lot going on with it, and unsettling and creepy. And Sydney, this was a movie that you auditioned for years ago, and then it stuck with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was 16, and it was like a small indie. And I auditioned for it, was obsessed with it, didn't get it. And then I found out that they never made it. And every year I'd follow up with my team being like, did they ever make that movie Immaculate? Whatever happened to it? Who booked it? And when I got older and I realized I wanted to make it myself, I went after the script.
Well, what was it that you were obsessed with? Why did that script stick with you?
There was multiple reasons. One, I grew up watching horror films with my dad, and so I always loved that genre. And when I read it, one thing I loved about it the most was that most of the fears and the horror all stem from reality. And I always like when things are kind of psychological like that. And then also Cecilia's journey was just, it's such a crazy roller coaster. As an actor, it's so fun to be able to dive into stuff like that.
Yeah, and so you enlisted Michael to direct this film, and there's shades of Argento and Friedkin, and we have a lot of, I would say, 70s kind of religious horror being paid homage to, while also adding something new to it. So I guess Sydney and Michael, why is this the right time for this film?
Ooh. I need to be careful about how I talk about this, because I don't want to spoil anything and I don't want to ruin someone else's interpretation. All I can say is that I think everybody can go through a spiritual crisis, whether you're religious or not. You know, you could lose your spirit in your fellow man, you know? And I think that this film ends with a sense of downright catharsis for someone confronting those fears. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Well, and for the entire cast, who came from religious backgrounds, and how did that perhaps impact the performance that you gave? Do you want to begin?
I mean, I never looked at this as just a pure religious film. I truly just looked at it as a character's journey through her personal journey through God. And the religion aspect just added a beautiful backdrop to what story we were creating. Like, originally the script was not set in a nun, or a convent. She wasn't a nun. It was a boarding school. And we wanted to elevate the film in a different way and add multiple different concepts to the story that could play with elements that, like, people draw different themes from it as they watch it. So I look at it as this is just her own character's journey, and she happens to have her journey with God.
Yeah. Does anyone else want to weigh in on that with maybe a religious upbringing? I mean, I'll say that I was raised Catholic, altar boy, did the whole, like, you know, thing, and churches can be creepy, okay? So watching this, there was something relatable about it. Anyone else have kind of an experience like that that may have influenced your performance?
I was born and raised in Rome, which is, you know. So, no, but I agree with Sid, because I didn't feel the film like as a religious film. But I'm the unfaithful nun, by the way. So it matches somehow. And it's beautiful, the metaphor of God in this sense, because everyone has his own, you know, path in this story. So...
Okay.
I don't have any specific experience.
Okay. Alvaro?
Well, I was raised in Spain, which is a Catholic country, and I went to the church when I was a kid. Not anymore. Just doing these kind of movies. But no, I approached the movie not thinking about the relationship with the church, but with all the themes that they talk in the movie, you know, the feminism, a world controlled by a man, when actually it's full of nuns. So it's one man in control of all these things, you know. I think the movie touches some very interesting themes that are really on the table nowadays, and that was what really interested me from the movie.
Mm-hmm. And Sid and Michael, there's this fierceness that really unfolds throughout this movie, and also just this kind of quiet dread that begins creeping up throughout. What kind of conversations did you have with one another about that balance, and then, you know, that gradual build without going there too soon? Talk about those conversations.
I mean, we kind of developed the script together, yeah. So the conversation was never, it wasn't like a conversation and then we made the movie.
It was like every night we would film and then regroup at night and work on everything.
Yeah, figure out what we learned about the characters, what we learned about how the crew was moving, and sort of, so it was always, it was an ongoing conversation. What I can say from the outset is that we both had the same North Star, which was, you know, once we decided to change the character to be a nun, to me, that's a really fun acting challenge and a fun directing challenge, because, you know, my favorite movies are when someone starts out in one place, like they start out at point A and they end up at point like Z, you know? And so her arc goes so much further because we're starting her in this very sort of meek, mild-mannered place. And by the end of the film, she turns into a, you know, feral creature covered in blood, screaming her lungs out, you know?
Well, since you said that, I will add to that, that there is this, yes, there's like a primal energy. There's, dare I say, like an unhinged, it's almost like you go full Nick Cage. And I mean that in the greatest of ways. Was that a natural place for you to go? Was that easy for you to find?
Yes. Which is probably crazy. I don't know how to describe
it's
it.
Very
I don't know how to describe it. Like, I'm since I was young, I was able to jump in and out of my characters. Like, I had someone who told me it was really important to separate myself from my characters as much as possible. And in doing so, it's allowed me to jump in the moment we call action and jump out the moment we call cut. Uh-huh. So that scene and a lot of the scenes, it was just very raw, and I allowed the character to just feel every depth of her soul.
Would you say that that's the most raw you've you've gone thus far in your career?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think so. It's pretty guttural.
Yes. Great word. I love that.
Yeah.
For each of you, like, yeah, really coming from the depths inside. And I loved that. For each of you, where else? I mean, Sydney said that she was a fan of horror, and I want to hear, you know, some of the favorite horrors that you watch with your dad. But how about the rest of you? What was sort of your love of horror, some of the films that you enjoyed prior to making this one?
So my dad had me grow up watching like all the OG John Carpenter films. So Halloween, The Thing, I was watching Psycho, Shining. He loves horror.
Awesome.
Yeah, we were saying before, the classical ones, Psycho, Shining, Rosemary's Babies. I really love also the tension horror genre, like Let the Right One In. Yeah, but I love it.
I want to add maybe Blue Velvet. Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Lynch.
Yeah, forgot yeah. to say before.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one, Alvaro.
Yeah, we were talking about, we were kind of connected with the same things as The Shining and Psycho and Let the Right One In. I remember watching that movie in the theater, and you know, this sensation of, okay, the next shot is not gonna be that good. Mm-hmm. And it was. Okay, the next shot is. So for me, it was very shocking and different, you know, when you move the point of view from the typical hero. In this case, with these two kids, I think it was a brilliant, brilliant movie.
Mm-hmm. Is this a genre that you would like to kind of explore further?
Maybe. Further?
Further?
Further what?
Yeah.
Like more in the horror genre.
Than what you've done?
Yeah. Can you go further than what you've done?
I don't know.
Is it possible?
Hey, don't call me, huh?
Depends on the story.
Yeah.
Depends on the story.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and also, I'm just curious, like, there's a lot of talk on the internet about a White Lotus kind of all-star season. Mm-hmm. Would you guys want to come together for, like, all-star White Lotus reunion?
I mean, I love my White Lotus family. One of the producers on this film, Dave Burnett, also produced White Lotus, and I think it would be a lot of fun. But
yeah, we're thinking about starting a chat of the White Lotus season.
Yeah.
Season one, season two, and maybe season three. I don't know. So we can stay in touch as a Lotus family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lotus family, I like that.
Yeah, would be a good idea.
The Lotus family chat, I like that. and also just like as a producer, what other projects are you looking to make?
I am approaching it kind of how I've been approaching my choice as an actor, where I want to try all different genres and all different mediums and see what speaks to me the most. And so far, I've been loving it from romantic comedy with Anyone But You and now this, and I'm kind of dipping my toes into as much as I can.
Yeah. Have you guys already discussed maybe doing another project together?
We're always talking other projects.
Yeah.
whatever it is, I just want to make sure that it challenges us, you know, that it pushes us to even more depths, you know,
Every project we've done together is a complete different genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's something I've noticed, especially at South by Southwest this year, and I think it's kind of a theme across the industry, is you have people that have established careers, they're doing great things, but it seems like producing the projects, finding the projects that they want to do, that's the way that they're getting the roles that they want. Would you agree with that?
I always think that the best roles are the ones you have to fight for.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And then finally, I guess, what scares you? I mean, we're talking about horror movies. This movie did unsettle me. It spoke to me on many levels. But what scares you? Is it a monster? Is it something paranormal? Is it some sort of real life threat? What is it across the bar?
I've been having nightmares leading up to today, and I can tell you what those nightmares are. I keep having nightmares that I'm at the premiere and the film is playing and all of you have forgotten your lines. but it's in the movie, and I'm sitting there, and you're on screen, like, not knowing what to do, and I'm in the audience, like, I can't direct, I can't give you your line, and then I wake up in a cold sweat. Like, I'm not even joking. That's been happening to me for the last few weeks.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The night of the...
Yeah,
the
so tonight, before. I hope you guys are off. I hope you're off book tonight.
Yeah, and you can't do anything, and then you it's get blamed
edited.
For
we
it.
We somehow edited
the lines
the
are
the
on
movie.
Screen.
Yes.
No.
I hope yeah. so. I hope so. Yeah.
Although that is a great setup for some sort of prank. I think there's time for someone to pull that off. Okay, that's a good one. A good psychological fear. I like that. What scares you? What's your fear?
Big amounts of water. I mean, I find myself in the middle of the ocean.
Me too. I dream about waves.
And I cannot stand up. I mean, you know these people? Let's get a swim. They're in a yacht in the middle of nowhere. Let's go and have a swim. It's like, what? I mean, it scares me so much. So much.
All right, so the ocean. All right, cool. What else? What other? I feel like this is turning into a group therapy session, the immaculate group therapy session. What else are you guys afraid
to
of?
To sleep in an empty house. I really don't like it.
What is it about that? Is it because...
Someone that comes inside and...
Then it's no longer empty.
Do something to me.
Okay. Way to make lemonade out of lemons there. Yeah, it's okay. What
the
scares you?
Maker.
I have a phobia of needles.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah, she does.
What? No, like, really, needles.
Needles.
Like when you get a shot or when you get your blood shot, like a needle.
Ah, needle, okay, mm-hmm. Lago.
Lago, yeah. Lago. It's, I'm...
Great pronounced,
Which,
by the way.
Thank you.
I mean,
no, like, but it's like a real phobia. Like, everyone kind of like, oh, you're scared of it until you actually witness it, and it's real.
I mean, there's needles in this film, if I recall, right? There's definitely needle scenes.
Yes.
Any stories as far as filming that where maybe you had some trouble with the needles?
I usually just start crying. And screaming.
I mean, that's good for performance.
Thrashing around.
Yeah. All right. What are you afraid of?
I don't know. Probably getting stuck into a cold place. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know.
Because you're Mediterranean.
Yeah, probably, yes.
Well, I guess it's a good thing you're in Texas, except the air condition in these buildings.
That's a problem. That is a problem.
It's cold everywhere we go. So, and I guess just at South by Southwest, this gathering of artists, filmmakers, musicians, has there been any kind of highlight or anything that you've really enjoyed thus far? I mean, you get to talk about your film, but what else? What are some highlights of South by?
Mike's been here.
Yeah,
for
I've
a
been here.
Days.
I came and I've just been, it's been wonderful. The last time I was here was in 2015 with a short film called Pink Grapefruit that actually won the jury prize that year. And to be back with a feature is just such a huge honor. But the best thing I went to was I saw this movie Babes, directed by Pam Adlin, and it is so funny. It's like it's this year's The Big Sick. If you ever like The Big Sick, you're gonna love Babes. It was hilarious.
Okay, cool. I know you guys are in and out for publicity, but any highlights from South by or
I personally just got here at midnight last night, so this is my first day.
My first time too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Grateful.
So we can arguably say that this
right
the
here
highlight.
Is the highlight.
Yes, the highlight. Yeah.
You got that right. They said this is the highlight.
Absolutely.
So, you know, keeps me working. Guys, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
The Immaculate is. I really enjoyed it, and you got to go check it out. It will leave you unsettled, and I think asking a lot of questions. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
And that was the cast of Immaculate, led by Sydney Sweeney, who also produces the flick, and it was directed by Michael Mohan. And again, you don't want to give too many spoilers away about this kind of movie. The less you know about it going in, the better, but it is pretty creepy and definitely pretty unsettling. And man, Sydney Sweeney delivers. She brings it for this flick, so check it out. And until next time, guys, this has been Talking Strange. I'm Aaron Sagers, and remember... Be kind, stay spooky, and keep it weird. Talking Strange is a part of the Den of Geek Network, available wherever you listen to other podcasts. If you like what we're doing, share Talking Strange with your friends and fellow spooky nerds. And please, subscribe, rate, and leave a nice review. If you have a strange or paranormal story you would like to share with us, please email talkingstrange@denofgeek.com for a chance to have it read on a future episode. For video episodes of Talking Strange, check out twitch.tv/denofgeektv and youtube.com/denofgeekus. And please follow at TalkStrangePod on Twitter and at Aaron Sagers on Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon for more paranormal pop culture content.